Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Federal agents are now being sent to San Francisco. AP correspondent Ben Thomas has more.
The U.S. Coast Guard says it's providing a base of operations for U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents in the San Francisco area. The San Francisco Chronicle reports 100 federal agents are expected to arrive at the base in Alameda starting Thursday. It's part of Trump administration efforts to track down immigrants in the country illegally. San Francisco's mayor and California's governor condemn the move, saying it's meant to provoke protests. President Trump has repeatedly mentioned deploying National Guard troops to San Francisco over crime concerns, as he has in other Democratic cities. Local and state leaders say crime in the city is at record lows and have vowed legal action. I'm Ben Thomas.
North Carolina's legislature gave final approval to redrawn congressional districts. They're designed to help Republicans win more U.S. House seats, something President Trump has called for. In debate, North Carolina Democratic Representative Gloristine Brown says the new congressional district map dismantles decades of voting rights progress.
Redrawing districts 1 and 3 is purposefully dilutions of black votes. North Carolina is the testing ground for the new era of Jim Crow laws, going after souls to the polls, restricting early voting dates, hours and locations, and now breaking up the black belt that has been electing black Democrats for 3 decades now.
Republicans argue the redrawing was based not on race, but on gaining political advantage. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney set a goal for Canada to double its non-U.S. exports in the next decade, saying American tariffs are causing a chill in investment. And world shares were mixed today following a retreat on Wall Street. This is AP News. The Saudi Crown Prince will visit the White House next month. AP correspondent Haya Pinjwani has the details.
President Donald Trump's administration is preparing for a visit to the United States by Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman next month. U.S. officials familiar with the plans for the trip say work is underway to prepare a package of agreements President Trump and the Crown Prince could sign or witness during the visit. That's according to several people familiar with the planning who spoke on the condition of anonymity. The planned visit will be the first to the United States by the Crown Prince since the killing of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul during Trump's first term in office in 2018. U.S. intelligence agency said Prince Mohammed likely directed the killing. That resulted in U.S. sanctions against several Saudi officials. Prince Mohammed denies his involvement, but in the years since, both the Trump and Biden administrations have tried to mend ties with Saudi Arabia. Haya Pinjwani, Washington.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
The U.S. has so far launched 9 strikes against alleged drug-carrying vessels in the Caribbean Sea and the Eastern Pacific Ocean, and U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is defending the Trump administration's actions.
This is an operation against narco-terrorists, as the Department of War characterizes them, the Al-Qaeda of the Western Hemisphere. These are well-funded, dangerous, violent drug cartels that operate as terrorists who are flooding our country with drugs. The United States is going to deal with it.
The latest U.S. strike on Wednesday killed 3 people in the Eastern Pacific Ocean. At least 37 people have been killed in the 9 strikes that began last month. I'm Donna Water.
The Justice Department's announced an agreement with the University of Virginia to pause civil rights investigations, UVA agreeing to abide by department guidance for not engaging in unlawful racial discrimination, and to provide relevant information and data to the department on a quarterly basis through 2028. The school became a target of the Trump administration in April when the Justice Department began reviewing its admissions and financial aid processes, and officials accused its then-president of failing to end diversity, equity, and inclusion practices. Unlike Trump administration deals with some other universities, the Virginia agreement does not involve a fine. Ben Thomas, Washington.
New sanctions were announced Wednesday against Russia's oil industry as the U.S. looks for levers to end the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It's something Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky has been asking for. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the measures are an attempt to choke off the Kremlin's war machine.
A substantial pickup in Russia's sanctions.
President Trump spoke with reporters at a meeting with NATO's Secretary General Mark Rutte.
These are very big. Those are against their two big oil companies, and we hope that they won't be on for long. We hope that the war will be settled.
Trump says a plan to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Hungary is off for now, but he remains optimistic.
Hopefully he'll become reasonable, and hopefully Zelensky will be reasonable too. You know, it takes two to tango, as they say.
Rutte spoke to reporters afterward.
I'm absolutely convinced that with sustained pressure, we will be able to get Putin to the table.
Jennifer King, Washington.
House Republican and Democratic leaders are trading blame over the government shutdown. The government shutdown continues with no end in sight. It's now the second longest federal government shutdown ever.
Democrats keep making history, but they're doing it for all the wrong reasons.
House Speaker Mike Johnson.
If you called each individual House Republican right now, we're almost 100%, probably 99.8%, okay, of every House Republican understands exactly why we're in the situation we're in. Are we all anxious to get back to work here for regular legislative session? Absolutely.
Democrats want to extend health care subsidies that are expiring. President Trump says he'll discuss health care, but only after the government reopens. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
And Republicans have shown zero interest or capacity to reopen the government, enact a spending agreement that meets the needs of the American people, or address the health care crisis that Republicans have created.
Hiya Pinjwani, Washington.
Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley led Democrats as they seized the Senate floor for almost an entire 24-hour period to protest the Trump administration and to push for bipartisan negotiations for continuing health care credits that is the focal point of contention behind the government shutdown. Merkley spoke for more than 22 hours from 6:21 p.m. Tuesday.
Mr. President, I've come to the Senate floor tonight to ring the alarm bells.
To 5 p.m. Wednesday. His speech was one of the longest in Senate history, just short of a similar speech in April by Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey. Booker broke the record with a speech that lasted longer than 25 hours, surpassing a speech by Senator Strom Thurmond in 1957. The Agriculture Department will reopen about 2,100 county offices across the country to help farmers and ranchers gain access to $3 billion of aid from existing programs. Traditionally, farmers and ranchers have been some of President Donald Trump's strongest supporters. Recently, some have expressed their displeasure with some of Trump's policies, saying he is creating competition for U.S. products, such as importing more beef from Argentina or a $20 billion aid package to Argentina, enabling them to sell soybeans to China. The USDA says that each farm agency office will now have two workers who will be paid while the government shutdown continues. Thousands of other federal employees, including air traffic controllers, are working without pay during the shutdown. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A man is in custody after driving his car into a White House security gate. The Secret Service says the man crashed into a gate near an entrance to the White House just after 10:30 Tuesday night. He was immediately arrested. Investigators searched his car and found it to be safe. Authorities have not provided any additional information about the crash, the driver's identity, or a possible motive. Mike Hempen, Washington.
Independent candidate for New York City mayor and former governor Andrew Cuomo said in Wednesday's debate, carried by Spectrum News New York One, that if Democrat and frontrunner Zoran Mamdani won, President Donald Trump would take over the city because Trump has no respect for Mamdani. Republican Curtis Sliwa accused Cuomo and Mamdani of antagonizing Trump, and Mamdani questioned Cuomo about sexual harassment allegations that forced Cuomo's resignation as governor.
You have spent more than $20 million in taxpayer funds to defend yourself, all while describing these allegations as entirely political. You have even gone so far as to legally go after these women.
Cuomo fired back.
There were allegations of sexual harassment. They were then went to five district attorneys, fully litigated for 4 years. The cases were dropped.
Sliwa accused both men of fighting like kids in a schoolyard. I'm Donna Water.
A chaotic ICE operation targeting vendors on Canal Street in Manhattan, where designer knockoffs are often sold, with around a dozen people, including those street vendors and some demonstrators who were trying to block the enforcement, getting swept up by masked federal agents. This protester was quickly handcuffed.
We cannot stand as New Yorkers for this to happen.
As the demonstration grew, ICE began shoving protesters to the ground and threatening them with pepper spray. Then more agents showed up, armed with long guns and tactical gear, including an armored military vehicle. A Homeland Security spokesperson says the agents were conducting an enforcement operation against sellers of counterfeit goods. The Tuesday sweep came days after a conservative influencer shared video on X calling for ICE to respond to Canal Street. An arrest in the case of a newborn with the umbilical cord still attached, who was left in a New York City subway station. Police say they have the baby's mother in custody after releasing surveillance photos. She's a 30-year-old Queens woman and faces charges of abandoning and endangering a child. The newborn was left Monday at a passageway at the 34th Street Penn Station subway stop during the morning rush hour. Commuters saw the newborn in blankets, alerting police the baby was taken to the hospital in stable condition. New York's safe haven law allows parents to leave a newborn at safe places like hospitals, firehouses, police stations without prosecution, but notification must be made. Julie Walker, New York.
I'm Seth Sutel, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks pulled back on Wall Street as the market's momentum went into reverse. The S&P 500 sank 0.5% Wednesday. The index is still close to the all-time high it set earlier this month. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 334 points. That's about 0.5%. The Nasdaq Composite lost 0.9%. Netflix helped drag the market lower after reporting a profit that fell short of forecasts. Netflix gave back a bit more than 10%, though it's still up sharply for the year. Beyond Meat had another day of huge swings and ended down about 1%. Treasury yields eased in the bond market. Seth Sutel, New York.
AP Sports, I'm Geffen Coolbaugh. The Knicks held off the Cavaliers for a 119-111 season opening victory in a battle of hopeful NBA title contenders. OG Anunoby had 24 points to help give Mike Brown a victory in his New York coaching debut.
The great part about it is, you know, we got a lot of room to grow.
Top pick Cooper Flagg scored 10 points in his NBA debut in a 125-92 loss to Victor Wembanyama's Spurs.
Man, yeah, that was crazy.
20-year-old rookie and third overall NBA draft pick VJ Edgecombe finished with 34 points in a 117-116 win in Boston, recording the third most points in an NBA debut and the most since Wilt Chamberlain's record 43 in 1959.
I was blessed to be in this position on the big stage in Boston and perform.
Edgecombe scored 14 points in the first quarter, surpassing LeBron James' record 12 in his 2003 debut.
Feels great to have my name mentioned.
Edgecombe's performance wowed all-star teammate Tyrese Maxey.
77 was good tonight.
Elsewhere, number 2 pick Dylan Harper of San Antonio debuted with 15 points. The San Francisco Giants are hiring Tennessee Volunteers coach Tony Vitello as their new manager for his first pro coaching job. Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White issued a statement Wednesday congratulating Vitello on an incredible opportunity to lead the Giants and wished him the best.
This is something that's never been accomplished before. So I think it's a testament to obviously Tony, but everybody that's ever played for him.
The 47-year-old Vitello is making the jump after spending his entire career at the college level. Vitello guided the Vols to the team's first NCAA title last year. NFL quarterback Jaden Daniels will miss the Commanders' game at the Chiefs with an injured right hamstring, and Ravens QB Lamar Jackson returned to practice after missing two games with a hamstring injury. The NFL is moving its Pro Bowl festivities to Super Bowl week beginning this February. Commissioner Roger Goodell announced the change Wednesday at the league's annual fall owners meeting. The plan is to hold the Pro Bowl games on Tuesday, February 3rd, occurred in the Bay Area. It remains a flag football game between the AFC and NFC. The league is hoping to take advantage of increased interest in flag football ahead of the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. The 49ers are hosting the Super Bowl on Sunday, February 8th in Santa Clara, California. The NFL is not considering dropping Bad Bunny as its Super Bowl halftime headline performer. Commissioner Roger Goodell made that clear Wednesday at the league's annual fall owners meeting. Goodell said the league is accustomed to getting blowback for its entertainment choices, given the size and breadth of its fan base. The Puerto Rican artist has been vocal in his opposition to U.S. President Donald Trump and his policies. Trump, on a conservative TV news network, called the NFL's decision crazy and ridiculous. The NCAA approved a rule change on Wednesday that will allow athletes and athletic department staff members to bet on professional sports. 2 weeks after the Division I cabinet approved the change, Division II and III management councils signed off on it, allowing the new rule to go into effect November 1st. This doesn't change the NCAA rule, which forbids athletes from betting on college sports. The NCAA also prohibits sharing information about college competitions with bettors. I'm Gethin Kulbaugh.
The European Union has agreed on a new raft of sanctions against Russia, targeting its shadow fleet of oil tankers and banning imports of its liquefied natural gas. As EU leaders were gathering for a summit in Brussels on Thursday, the European Council President, Antonio Costa, told reporters,
"This is a very strong message to Russia. We said repeatedly that we will support Ukraine as long as necessary and whatever it takes. And now we are concretizing this."
By his side was Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who said that while Ukraine still wants peace talks with Russia, these sanctions were necessary.
"And I think all of us need ceasefire. But we need more pressure on Russia for ceasefire."
The move comes a day after the Trump administration announced new sanctions against Russia's oil industry. At the summit, the EU leaders will also discuss ways to use frozen Russian assets to help Ukraine. I'm Karen Shamas.
The UN aid agency in Gaza, UNRWA, has been effectively banned from the territory since January. The agency was the main provider of aid into Gaza. The World Bank's president said on Wednesday that Israel is under the obligation to agree to and facilitate relief schemes provided by the UN and its entities, which includes UNRWA. Israel for some time has denied it has violated international law. The country says the court's proceedings are biased and Israel didn't attend hearings in April. The advisory opinion comes as a fragile US brokered Gaza ceasefire agreement continues to hold. Britain's antitrust watchdog has targeted Google and Apple for their strategic roles in mobile ecosystems, opening the door for regulators to impose changes to their business practices. The Competition and Markets Authority escalated scrutiny of the two American tech companies by labelling them with strategic market status. It follows separate probes that the CMA opened into Google's Android and Apple's iOS using newly acquired digital market regulations. The watchdog has said Apple and Google hold an effective duopoly, with 90 to 100% of mobile devices in Britain running on either mobile platform. Google has called the decision disappointing. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.